Our loving and precious Father, Lord, I ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be poured upon this place. As we open your word, Lord, and as we bring your message, may it go into the deepest part of our soul. May we understand what heaven truly is. And may we understand the yearning that you have, Lord. Not us, the yearning that you have for us to be with you. We thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I believe that this is the longest time that I've ever had to prepare a sermon. Most of the time we have sermons and I'm asked at the beginning of the month and I look at the schedule and they tell me, Brother Luis, you're going to be preaching this Sabbath or that Sabbath. Or sometimes I've been asked a day or two before. They've actually been time that I've been asked the day, the Sabbath, the day of. And there actually was one time that I was asked to preach a sermon. The pastor that was going to preach a sermon actually asked me before he preached the sermon, and he said, Brother Luis, would you like to preach? I'll give you till the special message, till I do the special song before, and then you make a decision whether you want to preach or not. But I've actually been, this was asked of me many, many weeks ago, many months ago, and there was a brother in the congregation that said, I want to hear a sermon. Why? And let me tell you, why heaven? And that's why I made this sermon called Heaven, because heaven is the sermon that I'm going to be preached. But the main thing is I say why, and there are two whys in this particular sermon. The first why is why do we want to know, and the other why is why are we questioning it? And there are two questions about it. And let me tell you, this has been the hardest sermon to ever prepare. I thought when I was at this place and they said that there's going to be, I'm going to talk. Nobody has really preached a sermon about heaven. And I thought I was going to open my Bible and I was going to find verses in the Bible that was going to give me and was going to let me know, oh, this is going to be so easy. There is so many verses in the Bible that talk about heaven. There's so many things in the Bible that tells us what heaven is going to be like. Oh, then I'm going to be able to get up there. I'll be able to do a series worth of heaven. It's going to be so amazing. It's going to be so powerful. It's going to be so great. And I prepared for this sermon four times. And my computer doesn't want to work. It's interesting that I've done about four times to prepare for this sermon. And every time I went to the Bible first, and I looked at all the verses that say heaven on it, and I'm looking, and they were great, that's awesome, that's wonderful. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at Ellen White's writing, and I'm wondering to see what Ellen White had to say about heaven. And lo and behold, she has a book that's named Heaven. And I'm looking through, and I literally went through all 20 chapters of Ellen White's book, looking about heaven. And let me tell you something interesting. There is so little written about heaven that is so difficult to put a sermon together, but yet there is so much written about heaven that is so hard to preach a sermon about heaven. And I'm going to start with one of the quotes of Ellen White, and it says, Heaven, what will it be like? How many of us would like to know what heaven will be like? I would like to know what heaven will be like. You know, and I'm telling you, when I was preparing this sermon, I knew for sure what heaven will be like. I know what I believe. I know it was going to be great. I know there's going to be so much material for me to put together, and this is going to be amazing. It says, words are inadequate to describe it. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is the most amazing sermon I've ever had to prepare, because even Ellen White, who was in vision in heaven, is telling me that words are indescribable to describe it. But the Holy Scripture gives us a glimpse of the glorious future. There all will be harmony. I'm telling you something right now. I have a glimpse of 20 chapters of Ellen White's Book of Heaven. So I could be sitting here probably for the next 10 hours preaching you about what heaven is going to be like. But I'm going to talk to you very slowly. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is all about. I'm going to tell you precisely what it says. There will be harmony. And I don't know anyone out there today. I don't know anyone out there today that would not like to have harmony in your life right now. I don't know. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. When I prayed this morning, I said, Lord, please preach to me. So if you don't like the sermon today, it's God is talking to me and not you. So I want to let you know that God is telling you today that heaven is going to be a place where there will be harmony. Brothers, I need harmony in my life right now. I was listening to my brother as he taught his lesson and his struggles that he was going through to finding a home. I was listening through the struggles that he's going through his life, what's happened in the past and what he's going through the future. And I'm sure that my brother Stephen would love to be in a place where there will be harmony right now, where there would be no doubt in his mind, where there will be no moment that he would question what his next move is going to be, because he's going to be in the presence of him that created the heavens and him that created the earth. And we're going to be able, not only are we going to pray to a God and not see him, we're going to be in the presence of God the Almighty, and we're going to be able to be in the presence of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us. And there will be harmony. I'm looking forward to that day. There will be peace. With all the struggles and all the situations that are happening in your life, how many of us would like to have peace right now? With so many individuals, our sister was talking about the children that she gets to work with. And I know that in her heart, it's probably breaking to see the things that are happening in this young kid's lives. I know there are so many of us. I got a call this week from one of my dear sister telling me, please, I need your help. There's a struggle that's happening in my family. There's someone in my family that's hurting. I need you to call. I need you to be part. I need you to be present. And there's so many of us that would love to have peace in our life. And let me tell you, it says there will be love. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need love. We have no idea what love is. Many of us wake up in the morning and many of us look at our spouses and we look at our children and we look at those around us and we tell them that we love them. But do we even know what that word is? So when God is telling you, when Ellen White is telling you that in heaven there's going to be love, you're going to, for the first time in your life, going to be able to experience what true love is. And true love is a God that created this earth, that in the plan that he was creating this earth, he already had the plan for you to be saved if you rejected him. So I want to tell you what heaven is going to be like. It's going to be a place where your creator God, you're going to be able to understand from him what true love is all about. And there's going to be unity. I don't know how many of you have gone to board meetings. And let me tell you a glimpse of board meetings. They're the most amazing experience of your whole life. You come in into a board meeting, everything is planned, it's going to be about an hour long, and everybody is in our harmony with each other, and everything is wonderful. There's no conflict, there is nothing that happens. Within an hour, you'll be in and out, and all of the troubles of the church is taken care of. I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to lie in front of the pulpit. My bad. Shouldn't that be, if we are called children of God, shouldn't our church be united? Shouldn't our church have its own way? Shouldn't our church know exactly what to do, because we come and we ask God to come and guide us, to use us, but yet there is no unity in our churches. There is no unity in our home. There is so much things that are happening. So I don't know about you. I want to be in a place where there is going to be unity. It says, all will be purity, holiness, and blessedness. You know, those are wonderful words. Those are great. But it's still not telling me what heaven is. It's telling me all of the things that I want to hear. It's telling me all the wonderful aspect, all the wonderful attributes. And it says, gone will be the sorrows. How many of you would like your sorrows to go away? There's so many of you that's had to suffer. There's so many of you that are suffering right now. There's so many of you that's going through struggles. There's so many of you that are seeing that there are things that are happening in your life. And you're saying, Lord, I need to stop. There'll be no more crying. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. A few seconds ago, I wanted to cry. I was sitting there in that bench and the enemy's attacking and the enemy is going. And let me tell you, if you're not struggling right now, if the enemy's not putting at you, if the enemy is not hitting you on the side, hold on fast, it's coming. And there's a lot of you that are feeling that the enemy is just right at your throat and is not letting it go. But let me tell you, it says here, and they'll crying and pain. And it says, best of all, death will be no more. All of these things we know. All of these things we've heard preached from the pulpit many, many, many times. And we're coming in. Oh, yes, Lord, it's great. Oh, yes, it's glorious, wonderful. And we want that, Lord. We want to be in a place. But what is heaven? Why do I want to be there? Why is it that I want so badly? How is it that I get to the point that what should heaven mean to me? And one day God sat me down and God said, son, you look at heaven as an afterthought. You look at heaven as the icing on the cake. And I want to ask you a question. Do you not want to be with me? Do you not want to spend time with me? Why is it that you're telling me that heaven is an afterthought when heaven should be the most important thing in your life? And let me tell you why heaven should be the most important thing in your life. Because if you don't have something to look forward to, you're going to fail on anything that you do here on earth. Because it doesn't matter how many struggles the enemy throw at you when you just close your eyes. When you close your eyes and at that moment you imagine your Christ, your Lord, your Creator, lifting up a crown with many jewels and putting it on your head. Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm going to bow down and I'm going to say, glory, glory, glory be to my Father. And I don't want to miss that moment. There isn't anything on this earth. I may not know exactly because Ellen White, and I'll tell you, Paul's going to say the same thing a while later. It says, I can't describe it. There's no word. But let me tell you, Ellen White also says, please don't take me away. Don't take me back. Don't send me back. I don't want to go back. That's what heaven is going to be like. Heaven is going to be a place where you're not going to want to come back from. It says we are homeward bound. Oh, Lord, I want to go home. He who loved us so much as to die for us has built for us a city. Brother Stephen is talking about that he was buying a house this week. Brother Stephen, did you go and put it together with your own hands or... did you go and you found one that someone else put together? Probably is a beautiful home and you probably are happy. But let me tell you, if Jesus was your contractor, how happy would you be with your home? And let me tell you, that's what heaven is about. Heaven is a place where Jesus himself is going to build a place. It's going to be a place. It's going to be for you. It says the New Jerusalem is a place of rest. There will be no sadness. There will be a city of God, no veiled sorrows, no dirge of crumbled hopes and breathed affection will evermore heard. Soon the garments of heaviness will be changed for the wedding garment. Soon we shall witness the coronation of Christ, of our King. Those who lived have been hidden with Christ. Those who are in the earth have fought a good fight of faith will shine forth with the redeemed glory in the kingdom of God. Oh my goodness. I know there are some of you that look at me and it says, my, you're so tall. In heaven, we're all going to be the same size. How do you like that? In heaven, you won't have to look down to anybody or you won't have to look up to anybody. We're all going to be the same and we're going to be equal in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Praise be the name of God. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Are there troubled hearts today? I told you the sermon is for me. Thank you for listening to the sermon, but let not your heart be troubled. says, Jesus said, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, I would have told you, I would go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And where in the ways, ye know. For your sake, I come into this world, and I'm working in your behalf. When I go away, I shall still work earnestly for you. I come unto this world to relieve myself to you, that you might believe. I go to my Father to cooperate with him on your behalf." For me, this will be one of the most important points for me, because I'm telling you, if my Creator, who created me so wonderful and so amazing, even with my sinful ways, and he is the one that's creating for me, I can't imagine what that's going to be like, but I sure would like to be there to see it. Christ has promised you that there is a place that's being built for you. Christ is promising you today that you're going to be, it's not just any little place, it's going to be a place where who's going to dwell? God himself and Christ himself will be there dwelling with you. You no longer need to pray to a God that you can't see. You're going to be in the presence of him who created this earth. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's so amazing. It says, there are not many ways to heaven. Each one may not choose his own way. Christ says, "I am the way. No one cometh unto the Father but for me." Since the first gospel sermon was preached, when the Eden, it was declared that the seeds of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. Christ has been uplifted up the way, the truth, and the life. He was the way when Adam lived, when Abel presented to God the blood of slain lamb, representing the blood of the Redeemer. Christ was the way by which patriarchs and prophets were saved. He is the way by which alone we are come across to God. Let me tell you why this is important. And you're listening to this paragraph and you're saying, "Brother, I thought you were preaching about heaven. What does this paragraph have to do with heaven?" And let me tell you that if you don't understand that there is only one way to make it to heaven, if you're not connected with that way, if you're not connected with Christ, this sermon will be void to you. There will be no need to understand what heaven is all about if you don't have that close relationship with your Creator God. If you don't understand that the only way in order for us to taste heaven, if you don't understand that the only way for us to be connected to God is through Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified, and him giving you, he already won the victory, and all he's asking you to do is to accept it, to grab hold to it. And not only that, he wants you to share it with as many people as you can. It says, God's original purpose of creation of earth is fulfilled as is made the eternal abode of the redeemed. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Stephen, you bought the house. You have the deed to that house? Or soon? How about the land, Stephen? Do you own that? Are you going to have to pay taxes, Stephen? So that's the thing. So there's the thing. You're not deeded that. You have something, but it's not really yours. Most of us, it's the bank who owns it. It's not even us who own it. But at the same time, but God is telling you, I'm going to deed to you. I'm going to give you a place where it's going to be solely yours, no one else. And it's going to be solely yours for 50 years. Is that what it says there? And then the Jubilee will happen. No, it says forever. Forever. The time has come to which holy men have looked for with longing since the flaming words buried the first pair in Eden, the time for the redemption of the purchase process. The earth originally given to man as a kingdom, betrayed by him into the hands of Satan, and so long held by the mighty foe, has been brought back by the great plan of redemption. Oh, brothers and sisters, Let me tell you, the plan of redemption has been fulfilled. Let me tell you that there is going to be an amazing place. I see some of you and you're going through some tough times, but let me tell you, it's already been if there isn't anything that you remember from today, remember that it's not you who needs to yearn from heaven. It is God who's asking you, I can't live in heaven without you. You do understand that in heaven there's going to be a seat for you at the table. Whether you make it or not, you will leave a void. If you're not in heaven, God is not going to rejoice because he wants each one of you there. And the only way that we're going to make it is through understand that there's God is asking, God is pleading, God has never left you alone. God sent a comforter in order for you to make it. So you don't even have to do it on your own. The only thing you have to do is to surrender your hearts to him. And it's saying that the enemy will have no more power in your life. And let me tell you, I need that right now. Because as I was preparing for this sermon three times, let me tell you, I had it all said and done and all prepared, and all of a sudden it just went away and I had to start all over again. And the enemy didn't want me to preach this sermon because he knows that when the people of God, when they humble themselves and they bow themselves and they pray and they yearn and they want to spend eternity with God, then he has no power over them. He has no control over them, because when the people of God want to be with God, then there's nothing on this earth that is worth that ticket. It says God created the earth to be an abode of holy, happy beings. The purpose will be fulfilled when renewed by the power of God and freed from sin and sorrows. It shall become the eternal home of the redeemed. Oh, redeemed, how I long to proclaim him. Oh, redeemed by the power of the blood. Oh, we're going to be in a place where there's going to be, it's just going to be amazing. It says the work of the redemption will be complete in the place where sin abound. God's grace much more abounds. The earth itself, the very field that Satan claims as his, it is not only ransomed but exalted. Our little world under the curse of sin and of dark blot of his glorious creation will be honored above all other worlds in the universe of God here. Where the Son of God tabernacle in humanity, where the King of glory lived and suffered and died, here, where he shall make all things new, the tabernacle of God shall be with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be with the people, and God himself shall be with them. Let me tell you, what does that have to do with heaven? We have to experience heaven in order to come back, but when we come back, we, this little earth, that if you look at the universe, is nothing. That's where God is going to make his reign. His kingdom, and we're going to be with him, and he is going to be our King and our Lord and our Savior. John the Revelator says, and I heard as it were the voice of great multitudes, and a voice of many waters, and a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigneth. Let it be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready, and said unto them, Write, blessed are they which are called upon the marriage of the Lamb, of the supper of the Lamb, for the Lord God the King, O King, and they are with him are called the chosen and faithful. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you are that individual. I hope that you have been chosen. I hope that you understand that you are a special jewel. I hope that you understand that God is telling you today that heaven, what heaven needs to be for you, is a place in which you're going to have no longer any headaches, but it's a place where you're going to be have direct connection to him who created this earth. And it says, then the voice of rather that any music that ever fell on mortal ears, is heard saying, your conflict is ended. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the earth. I don't know how many of you enjoy music, but I can't wait till we get to heaven and the angels are singing the song. And I can't wait to see the chorus that is going to be of all of the saints. All of us is going to be there. We're going to be singing the song, glory, glory, glory be to our Father. And it's going to be amazing. And I'm telling you today, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. I can't imagine when I was preparing this sermon. I can't imagine why do we even consider, why do we even want to lose the opportunity to be able to be in this magnificent place, even though there's no word. There is no word to describe what heaven will be like. It says the Savior leads. This is talking about Adam. Look at this. It says the Savior leaves Adam to the tree of life and pluck the glorious fruit and bids him to eat. Let me stop there for a second. Let me stop there for a second because I come from a tropical country. When I would go out on my backyard, I could pick up ripened guava. You have no idea what a guava tastes like here. Let me tell you, you don't. Or I can go to my mango tree and I could pick up a mango. You still have no idea what a mango tastes like. I'm telling you, you don't. Or I can be walking underneath my avocado plant. And let me tell you, avocados in Cuba, they're this big. I'm not lying to you. Now, when the avocado tree is 50 feet high. So imagine there's an avocado way at the very top and it's coming down. And if you're underneath there, it's going to be, but you have no idea what avocado tastes like. Let me tell you, when you truly get, and when you get to this, I'm not even going to know what the fruits are going to taste like in heaven because they're going to be without any sin. They're going to be like the God of heaven created them. And they're going to be, if they were sweet in Cuba, they're going to be sweeter in heaven. Oh, I can't wait, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, I can't wait to heaven to feel that fruit. And it says, listen, he looked upon him and behold the multitudes of family redeemed standing in paradise of God. Then he cast his glitter crown to the feet of Jesus and falling onto his breast, embraced the Redeemer and he touched the golden harp and the vaults of heaven echoed the triumphant song. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain and lived again. Family of Adam, take up the strain and cast their crowns to the Savior's feet, and they bow before him in adoration. Let me tell you, I am going to be one of those sons of Adam who's going to be bowing down, is going to take my crown, is going to touch their harp, and is going to say, glory, glory to my God. How about you? I don't know, but if you're not getting excited, if you're not feeling what heaven is going to be like, if you're not understanding, let me read a little bit more. And it says, this reunion is witnessed by the angels who wept at the fall of Adam and rejoiced when Jesus, after the resurrection, ascended to heaven, having opened the grave for all who should believe in his name. Now they behold to work the redemption according and the unity, and they unite their voice in the song of praise. The voice of the harper, of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sing a new song before the throne of the God, which a man can learn, save the hundreds of 44,000. It is the song of Moses, the Lamb, a song of deliverance. None but the 144,000 can learn this song, for it is the song of their experience. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what your experience has been. Some of you have gone through very difficult situations. Some of you right now are going through hardship. Some of you right now are sad. Some of you, your heart has been broken. Some of you are saying, Lord, I can't take it anymore. Lord, please come quickly. I can't take it anymore. But brothers and sisters, God can't come until your spouse is saved. God can't come until your child is saved. God can't come until your neighbor is saved. God can't come until every one of his sons or daughters. And let me tell you, God is telling you, son, daughter, I need you. I could do it without you, but I need you to finish this work. It says, how great will be the joy when the redeemed of the Lord shall all meet, gathered into the mansion prepared for them. Oh, what rejoicing for all who have been impartial and selfish, labor together with God in carrying forward his word on the earth, what satisfaction will ever have when the clear musical voice of Jesus shall be heard saying, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the earth. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Oh, I can't wait for that song. My Jesus is going to be singing that song today to you. And it says, the language is altogether too feeble to attempt a describe of heaven. There is no language to describe heaven. There is no way for us to let you know. I'm telling you, it's just something about it. And it says, as the scene ripped before me, I am lost in amazement, carried away from the surpassing splendor and exalted glory. I laid down the pen and exclaimed, "Oh, what love, what wondrous love." The most exalted language fails to describe the glory of heaven or the matchless depth of our Savior's love. Oh, brothers and sisters, what an amazing, what great God that we have. It says, with Jesus at our head, we are descended from the city down to earth on the great and mighty mountain, which could not bear Jesus up. And it parted us, assured it, and there was a mighty plain. Then we looked up and saw the great city with 12 foundations, 12 gates there in each side of the angels. Our each gate will be cried out. The city, the great city is coming. It's coming down from heaven, out of heaven, down from God out of heaven. And it came and settled on the place where we stood. Oh my. Do you want to be there? Are you getting a glimpse of what this is going to be about? Are you understanding what God is trying to prepare for you? And it says, and the temple was surrounded by 7 pillars and the trumpets of gold set with pearls most glorious. Then things I saw there I cannot describe. And it's on and on and on that I cannot describe. So when you're looking at preparing a sermon about heaven, and when you're looking at those who were there can tell you, and I'm telling you, I can't describe it. I hope that you understand that even though maybe you're not getting what you want to hear, maybe you're not getting exactly what heaven is going to be around. It says heaven is a school. It is a field of study. The universe, its teacher, and is infinite one. A branch of his school was established in Eden. And the plan of redemption, accomplished education, will again to take up in Eden School. Amy, you're going to be working in heaven forever. Going to be a teacher. That's what it is. Actually, you're not. You're just going to be a student. Heaven is going to be a place we're going to be learning from eternity. You know, how many of you, I know that we all said this growing up. We told our parents, "I'm 15. I know it all." You know, maybe I was the only one that said that. You know what I mean? But how many of us, there was an age that we told our parents, "You don't have to tell us anything. I know it all." And let me tell you, God is telling you here, for eternity, you're going to be learning. You're going to be learning of things that you have no idea. And it says, eyes have not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. It has not even entered. How many of you have seen beautiful pictures? How many of you have seen amazing places? I know I have. Please go to Cuba. It's the most beautiful place you're going to see beside Newfoundland. I mean, I'm telling you, there's something about Newfoundland that is the second heaven. But when you go there and you see all these wonderful things, and that will not even compare to what God has prepared for you. And it says, only through his word can a knowledge of these things be gained. I'm going to read that again. Only through his word can a knowledge of these be gained. And even this affords but a partial what? Revelation. That means even with all of the beautiful letters and all of the description that God has given us about heaven, that's just going to be a little glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. And I hope that that is great. And I'm going to, I have 7 pages worth, but I'm going to finish here. It says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are on the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to tell you what I've learned, what heaven is. I want to tell you what I know heaven is for me. And the thing that heaven is for me, it would be a place where I will be vindicated. To all of those who I took the time to open this love letter to all of those who I have been saying for the past 20 years, as God gives me the opportunity to share here in the pulpit, to all of those who I yearn to see in heaven, I'll be vindicated, but I don't want to be vindicated because I want them there. So if you're listening to me right now, if you're hearing this message and you're going through a struggle, if you're hearing this message and you're wondering, why should I go on? If you're hearing this message and you're wondering, Lord, I can't take it anymore, I want to tell you that heaven is cheap enough. When we all truly get to heaven, we will shout the song of victory. And we're shouting it right now, Lord, because we love you. We yearn for you. And we want you to come and take us home. I ask, Lord, that you would empower each one of us to understand the precious gift of heaven, to understand why we want heaven. We understand we may not know exactly what heaven is like, but Lord, I want us to know that we want to be there. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.